insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to another of our programs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the understanding of these verses of the Holy Quran. First, let's hear the verses.
وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَدَعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا قَالَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم وضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة وباءوا بغضب من الله ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون.
We were discussing the 61st verse of Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about yet another of the special blessings that He has given and bestowed upon Bani Israel. And also, like the previous examples that were mentioned, normally these blessings are followed by disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Bani Israel. We'd arrived at the end of it, so I can't go through the beginning of the verse and what those blessings were. The end of the verse was after they rudely told their prophet to ask God to give them some other vegetation or some other meals, vegetables actually, garlic and onions and lentils. They were told, you're asking for something that is inferior, but if you want that, you can go to any town you want and you will get that. But the result of that is you will be faced with abasement, dhillah. You will not have your freedom and you will not have a home from now on. وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ They earned Allah's wrath. Then the principle that's mentioned, which is important for us to understand and learn for our own benefit, is that the reason why they earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath, according to this verse, is two things. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ They would defy the signs of Allah. That's why they earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath. They used to kill prophets unjustly. Obviously, no prophet could be killed justly because a prophet does not commit sins. There's no reason why he would be worthy of death. So they killed prophets unjustly. The last reasoning that was mentioned, so defying the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a reason why one would earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from His wrath, from His own wrath, and save us from His own wrath. This is the reason, a reason why one would earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath. How would we reach that stage? Is it something that's you know going to be happening to Bani Israel and to others, but not to me? I'm never going to get to that stage where I'm going to be defying the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that the case? No, the principle is mentioned at the end of this verse. ذَلِكَ That is because the reason why they defied the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they killed the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unjustly is ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ That's because they would disobey and used to commit transgression. If we do that, according to that other verse as well that we mentioned in the previous session again, that the outcome and the end result of the people who did bad deeds, they committed bad deeds and wrong deeds, was that they defied, they considered the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as lies. This is a very, very great sin. So that's where we could be ending up if we do so, if we continuously commit sins and be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point that's worthy of mentioning about this verse is about the point where it says, وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. They used to kill the prophets unjustly. How would they kill the prophets? How were they killing the prophets? Did they actually have like swords, or knives, daggers, poison or something that they would kill the prophets directly? The ahadith that we have tell us that that's not how it happened. The way it happened was, Bani Israel, after having been taught by the Prophet certain things, certain teachings, now they were living under governments. At some point they were living under the Roman government. Sometimes they were under the Persian government, the kings there. They were living as a religious people under those governments. Now, the prophets would have teachings. Obviously, those governments, those rulerships, those dictatorships, those monarchies are not rulerships and sovereignties that God is pleased with and that He would want His servants to be under those. So some of the teachings of the prophets would be things that would not be good for these governments. Bani Israel, some of the people, again we would have to say this is done by a faction in Bani Israel, not every single individual. Some of those people, when they saw their interests endangered by some of the teachings of the Prophet, what they would do, they would go and tell the kings, the rulers, about what is going on. Now, some of you have probably seen the movie Passion of the Christ. As you see there, the Jewish people, they went actually to the rulers, the Roman rulers there, and told them about Isa, Prophet Isa. And it wasn't the Jewish people that came and actually killed Prophet Isa. It was actually the Romans that were supposed to do that. Now, obviously, we know that that part of history about them actually being able to kill Prophet Isa is not right. The Holy Quran tells us that he was not killed by the Romans, by people. He was not killed at all. But the plan and the plot was there. Bani Israel did try to kill him, but they weren't able to kill him. But they didn't kill him themselves, if you saw in that movie. That's how they did the rest of them as well. The other prophets that were killed by Bani Israel, they were not killed directly by Jewish people. No, what they would do was that they would go and start telling the rulers there, the governments, about some of the teachings of these prophets. They plotted against them. They didn't fight against them directly. They plotted. This is something that's important for us to take into consideration, so we don't fall into this category, and also we don't help that either. A lot of times plots are made against religious leaderships when it comes to, especially when it comes to the issue of government. When it comes to the issue of government, unjust governments are not willing to obviously give up their rulership easily. When it comes to the issue of government, just people could be endangered by the religious people themselves. By the religious people themselves. And the religious people would say things to the rulers that would cause the leadership in those communities to go under oppression and hardship, and actually even their lives be taken away from them. This is something important that we should note. So anyhow, that's how the Jewish tribes would actually kill these prophets. They wouldn't take knives or poison or something and kill these prophets directly themselves. They plotted against them, and other people outside of Bani Israel would actually carry out that job. But that fitna, that plotting that they did, was actually the cause of their death, is even worse than that killing of the prophets. That's why even the death of the prophets has been attributed to these people. The next verse, verse 62, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a new concept and principle. It's a very interesting one, actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
Indeed, the faithful, the Jews, the Christians, and the Sabians, those of them who have faith in Allah and the last day and act righteously, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. The point that is being mentioned in this verse is a very general principle. It doesn't matter what you are called. It doesn't matter if you were during the time of the Jewish religion, that you were supposed to follow the Jewish religion and laws that were given to Prophet Musa, or if you're living at the time of Jesus, where you're supposed to follow the rules that Jesus brought to the people, or you're one of the Sabians. It doesn't matter what your name is, what you are called, who you followed. The criterion is this: man amana billah wal yawmil akhir. Doesn't matter if you're called a Jew or Christian, a Sabian, if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, and in the day of judgment, the last day, and you act righteously, important, okay, act righteously, act according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. These people will have the rewards near their Lord, and they will not have any fear or any grief. The important point that's being mentioned here is this principle that it is belief, it is faith, and action. That combination is necessary for one to have blessings with their Lord on the day of judgment and have a good life in the hereafter. It doesn't matter what we are called. I would just like to quote a hadith regarding the same issue, which is an interesting one from Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayhi, that he says that, is it enough to be considered a Shia and just have the love of the Ahlul Bayt? That's not what it requires. In order to be considered a Shia, he gives a number of things, but the main principle that he mentions at the end of that hadith is this: if you want to be a wali of the Ahlul Bayt, one of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, one of the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, you've got to act and be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, taking into consideration these people actually believe. So we need to believe and act according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. That's when we are going to be the righteous people. We're going to have the blessings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about, I am called a Muslim and somebody else is called a Jew or a Christian, so I'm going to be going to paradise. Similar to what the Jewish people used to say. Say, oh, we are the chosen people. We're going to be going to paradise no matter what we do. We're not going to be punished severely in the hereafter. That's not the case for them, and it's not the case for us. Sometimes we have a misunderstanding regarding that. We think, oh, I'm Muslim, these people are Jewish, and they're so bad, or the Christians, same way. No, that's not the criterion. The criterion is this, and the judgment is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and acts, عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, does the right deeds, the good deeds, that's when he's going to have, he or she is going to have the blessings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last point that I need to mention, this verse is not talking about pluralism, that it doesn't matter what your religion is. That's not the point, okay? The point is, it doesn't matter what your name is. You could be considered Muslim, but, and you could be called Muslim, but you don't have this. You could be called Jewish or Christian, okay, and yet be like this. Even at that time, now, I don't have too much time to explain this aspect of it. Just because someone is a Christian, that doesn't mean they're going to be ending up in hellfire. We know that. At the same time, we don't believe that Christianity is the true religion at this point, especially the one that is deviated. Okay, but there's other points regarding that. The main point that is mentioned in this verse that we need to focus on is the guideline for human prosperity is belief and action. Acting according to that belief and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when we will have the rewards with Allah and we will not have any fear or grief in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to be one of those that has these characteristics. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا حي يا قيوم.